It's no secret the NFL has a problem with race. Think Colin Kaepernick. Think Brian Flores. But this isn't a new problem. It's one that started as far back as the 1930s, with a ban on black players in the NFL, with a past that informs the present. Blackballed is a new miniseries podcast from The Ringer about the four men who broke the color barrier in football. I'm your host, Chelsea Stark Jones. Blackballed is dropping soon on The Ringer NFL feed.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh.
Can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams, too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
And welcome to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Howell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer. And today we're checking in with some Oscars wrap-up. LOL from 2012. And Marrying a Jonas.
What a ride.
Okay, let's do it. Tea Time is checking in with the Oscars wrap-up. It was on Sunday. We're recording this Thursday, so we've had some time to look through the slideshows, best, worst dress, best moments, etc. So let's start with the outfits. Who do you think was the best dress and worst dress, Kate?
I have to say, I was uninspired largely by the fashion offerings at this week or this year's Oscars. I thought it was weird that everyone wore white, and I know that everyone's already been talking about this. Like we said, it's late in the week, but... did they not know that the carpet was white? Do they not tell them that? I mean, I don't know. I just thought it was weird that the one year they changed the carpet from red to white, everyone wears white and look like a bunch of ghosts haunting the Oscars venue. So I didn't love that. I also just don't. I'm like, you wear white when you get married. You don't have to wear it to the Oscars. I don't know. It's just weird, not my fave. Okay. But not to start out with hater energy. But that's what I do. Anyway, my best dressed was Angela Bassett. She was in purple. It was fabulous. It was a color. Mm-hmm. She was the one living person among all of the ghosts. And she's also just looked amazing this whole cycle. And she didn't win.
Gorgeous.
And that's, you know, that's fine. She won in our hearts, but she just looked amazing. And mm-hmm. I love her. Mm-hmm. My worst dressed, I have to give it to Florence Pugh, who I love. And listen, I don't mind a risk taker. I like her whole vibe lately. I think it's fun and cool. I like the hair and the piercing and the vibes. Mm-hmm. I thought her hair was really cool at the Oscars. It was very like structural kind of bun. There was like a little ribbon thing. I was like, this is dope. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of her outfit was just one, just like not Oscars-y to me. It was like a dress, but it was just a shirt, but it was a dress. And then she had shorts on.
Yeah.
And like these huge, like sort of black pumps. and I just didn't, I thought it was a big swing and I appreciate a big swing, but it just did not work for me. And then I hated her Vanity Fair outfit way more,
which
was
like
a black seashell bra, but it was like coming off of her body a little bit. Like it was like, like just
like
very odd.
Ill-fitting.
Ill-fitting. Yeah. And then she had like this big purple hooded cape thing. And just those, I wouldn't have picked her if one or the other had been better, but the double, it was a double blow for the flow stance. So I just, I don't know, her I like her stylist normally, but they've been taking some weird risks
some
lately.
Risks.
And it's not working for me. So that was my best and worst.
Yeah. That's sad for you to see your favorites do that to you. Amelia, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree with Kate. I really loved Angela Bassett's purple. It looked great. Another person who looked really good was the Chinese actress Fan Bingbing. Do you remember when she like disappeared? And then like it was never explained. I don't know. It's like those crop circles. They just like appear one day. It's like she just appeared back one day.
I look forward to the Netflix documentary about it someday.
Oh my God. Truly. But anyway, she showed up and I'm sorry, but this woman legitimately terrifies me just because she, one, because she disappeared and there was no explanation. And two, she looks like, I say this because she's stunning, but she looks like a creepy doll. Like, there are no pores on this. If you look at a picture of this woman, there are no pores on this face. There's not a wrinkle in sight. And she's four, and I'm not saying 40 is old, but she looks like she's 20 and she creeps me out. She just looks creepy. I mean, she's beautiful.
Truly like ageless and expressionless in a way.
Yeah. It's scary. But she looked gorgeous. She was she showed up in this, like, sorry, not to be like, I am terrified of her, but yes, but she looks great. She had this like kind of silvery, I guess, whitish, sparkly halter neck dress on. And then she had these like huge green kind of shawl thing, but it was like, there were like shoulder, I'm sorry, I'm doing such a bad job of like explaining this. Google
it's
it.
It's very like old Hollywood glamour.
Yes, it's very
like
glamorous.
This is like an Oscars dress. And this is what I wish more people kind of did. Like, this is the vibe to me. Like, if you're going to take a big swing at the Oscars, swing in this direction.
I agree.
You know, like,
I totally agree.
Super like old Hollywood glamour, color, sparkle, not so much the other weird direction. And I have to say, while we're talking about Fan Bingbing, I read one time that she does 3 sheet masks a day.
Damn.
Are
and
you
every
serious?
Time I do a sheet mask, I think about her and I'm like, is this removing all of the wrinkles on my
is
face?
Is that the secret?
It seems to work for her, I guess. And listen, they don't do that much. They're just like moisturizing, but something about, she does them constantly. I've seen like videos of her walking through airports, like with a sheet mask on and like signing autographs, like with her sunglasses on top
God,
of the sheet
that's
mask.
Funny.
So I guess if you want to look 20 when you're 40, that's the secret.
Noted.
That. Yeah.
I really liked 2 things. I liked, in addition to everything you guys said, Lady Gaga's bare face. She appeared on the red carpet in full glam, like a very smoky, heavy eye a la Julia Fox. And she performed Hold My Hand, which was nominated. It's in the movie Top Gun Maverick. But she transformed for this performance. She took, not she, someone took all of her makeup off, like, down to a point where it looked like she hadn't worn makeup ever once in her life. And it went very viral because everyone was like, drop the makeup remover.
Right.
Like, how did you do that? Because every plebeian like me knows, you wear eye makeup, you do it, and you're like, oh, I did it well. You wake up the next morning and you're still a raccoon. So I did some digging. The makeup artist that was working with her that night did not reveal the makeup remover, but she did post a photo of like the aftermath, and it's a bunch of like towelettes. So. Oh. Take that as you will. Anyway, I just loved, I don't know, it was like very close-up performance. She was in ripped jeans, black t-shirt, no makeup, and like her hair was up. And I appreciated that because she's like,
kills me.
A full glam lady. And she's just, she's a performer.
That is the key. She is the performer. This is her art pop. She loves
it. Like, yeah.
It's
exactly.
So funny. It's so funny. Lord. Like, of course, she would show up looking like the rest of us to perform the song. Yeah. I just like, of course she would. And I love that. I love that.
I agree. And then the other thing I wanted to say that is in line with Kate's comment about Angela Bassett, and the theme is like the bright colors were just like real winners. I wanted to point out 2 people. Salma Hayek was in the most gorgeous Gucci, like burnt orange sequins. And then it was a bold look, but I did like it.
I like
sequins
it too.
On top. And then what it says, like not confetti on the bottom, like the, I don't know, some material
like,
I can't
it's
identify.
It's like tassels, like tinsel. It's tinsel.
Oh, tinsel. Thank you. Yeah. Yes. And then similarly, in another bright color, Sandra Oh was in a shade of orange that just made her entire face pop out to the sun. Like the most glowing, gorgeous look I've ever
this
seen.
This dress is beautiful, actually. I love the draping, too.
And I love the dark lip with it. I just thought she looked so good. And it reminded me of this like TikTok challenge I've been seeing everywhere. And I wanted to try it on myself. And then, I don't know, maybe I forgot. But it's like you put your whole face in kind of like a spectrum of colors. And it's like, what season are you? So are you winter? And then around your face is all these like dark blues and whites and really cool tones. And then like autumn is kind of what these 2 are wearing, like these really rich jewel tone. Anyway, they match like just who they are and the essence of it so well that they must have taken this test because, and I need to take it as well because
they know their undertones really well.
They do. Yeah. It was something about identifying a color that just like transcended them that I need to track down my own.
That's a great point.
So I wanted to give those two a shout out. What else, Kate?
They looked amazing. I want to talk about the Vanity Fair party really quick because I was looking at these Getty images and I was like, I've never seen so many boobs in my entire life. Since we watched Showgirls, I have not seen this many boobs. What is happening? Is this not the Oscars? Is this not cinema's biggest night? Which again, like, it's fine, wherever you want. They look amazing. But I was confused. It seemed to be an abundance of naked outfits, which are in and trendy, but like what I would assume people would wear to even the Vanity Fair party, which again is a little more risque than like the actual Oscars red carpet. Mm-hmm. There were like 10 different people who wore these like transparent outfits or like didn't wear a top or had some strategically placed stickers or just skipped the stickers altogether. And I was very confused and I did some digging. And apparently the actual theme of, and I found people were saying this on Twitter. I didn't find like an actual specific article, but it was widespread enough that it seems to be real. Apparently the actual theme of the Vanity Fair Oscars party was like naked sheer, like capitalized naked sheer.
Oh.
So apparently that's why so many people wore these sheer/naked outfits.
That needs to be publicized more.
Yeah.
Like we would never.
Because people were like going out. And that was why I found it on Twitter. Because people were going after Ciara specifically because she wore just like very risque. She looked amazing, obviously. She's Ciara. Mm-hmm. But people were going after her. And then everyone was like, no, no. Like, here are 10 other women who also did this. And second of all, this was actually like an official theme. So I guess credit to them for following the theme. Like, these are the people who wear, black dresses to the Met Gala. So I guess for once in their lives, they did decide to follow the theme. All of these like models and some influencers and actresses. But I'm like, why that for the Vanity Fair Oscars party? You know?
I know.
You can do any theme.
Is that a confirmed theme?
It was everywhere. A bunch of people, like specifically capitalized, like naked sheer was the theme.
Wow.
So again, I guess take with a grain of salt, but that's why there were literally like 12 different people in these kinds of outfits, which was fine. Again, no complaints, but it was confusing. Mm. And I am a little baffled by that.
They need to make that more public next year. Yeah. Release the theme.
Yes.
And then best moments, we picked a couple. My favorite moment was John Travolta, favorite and like saddest and just most heart-wrenching, but John Travolta introduced the in memoriam section. Oh my gosh. He says a bunch of things about the section of the show in general. And then is talking about all those who have passed in the last year and then says they've touched our hearts. They've made us smile and became dear friends who we will always remain hopelessly devoted to. And he starts choking up. And I was like, oh my God. I wanted more.
John Travolta.
It was just so, so sweet. And so it was very simple nod, but it was very touching. And I think that was actually my favorite moment in the whole show. What about you guys?
Yeah.
It was sweet.
There were some like very sweet and like heartwarming moments, I think, of this Oscars. I just have loved this whole cycle. Loved watching Ki Huy Quan from Everything Everywhere All at Once just have the time of his life and like cry every time he wins, be so surprised. I love to watch someone who like can't believe they're there and can't believe this is happening. And he just like could not get over it. And even if he hadn't won, I think just like Amelia, you're going to talk about like his pictures with other celebrities. Like he just like can't believe that this is happening. No. And it's just been a joy to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. It's been very sweet. He posted this 13 hours ago and he was like, the Oscar after parties were epic. Oh my God, there were so many huge stars. But for some reason, it just kills me. Because I'm not saying that Usher isn't a big star or like Gigi Hadid, but it's just like
the ones like, that he led with. Yeah.
You're right. You're like, what? And then even the ones in here, it's like he's got a Jonas brother. Alexandra Daddario. Who the hell is Alexandra Daddario?
How did she get in there?
That was so funny.
Okay. Like, I think maybe the most famous person here is like Pedro Pascal, maybe. It's just, it's funny.
This is such a funny combination of people, too. Because he didn't go for one type of celebrity. He just kind of, it means he was just talking to a bunch of different people.
It runs the gamut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's just a delight.
Okay.
There's also a video of him coming up to Brendan Fraser, who also won. And in the back, and he's like, ha! And then they're like, like freaking out together. That's I just love when they're just like so likable and so excited and like can't believe that this is their life. It's just delightful to watch.
Agree.
Oh, are we not going to talk about the hot
editor? Cut it because you made me feel embarrassed.
I'm sorry.
I was going to talk about the hot editor from Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh.
Even though I really actually cut it because Jam Session already went long.
There was
a hot editor. He was hot and charming. And then Amelia was like, the bar is low for white men. And I was like, you know what? You're right.
I'm sorry. He's ugly. He is cute. But I'm just like, are you kidding me? I could literally walk around Target and find five guys who look exactly like him. But I'm sorry.
That's why I cut it.
Drag me. Like, this guy isn't making it past week three on The Bachelorette. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Just kidding. Wow. I'm kidding. That was
I love this energy from you.
Oh, thank you.
Lastly, we're going to force you to talk about this because it's so funny. And she's also been everywhere. Go ahead.
Yeah, she really has. I just, you know, I feel like I've ridden hard for Jamie Lee for a while, just like ever since she showed up on those Activia commercials and was like, yeah, what up?
Yeah, that's what did it.
People poop. Yeah. But she's just so kooky. She's just insane. She's out here defending Ariana DeBose for her rap, which I love. And she's telling people to fuck off. She's also out here telling James Corden on his show. She's like, you are a wonderful person and don't let anyone steal your spot. I'm just like, Jamie, oh my God, you're so insane. But anyway, Jamie Lee, she beat the odds and she ended up winning Best Supporting Actress for a film that, honestly, I love Jamie Lee, but she won for that role.
Yeah, no.
It's just kind of insane. She was there for maybe like 10 minutes. I don't know. And I thought Stephanie Sue like did a better job. But that's not
100%.
It's fine.
Yes.
Yeah. So she's Nepo Queen legend, Jamie Lee Curtis. She got up and she accepted the award. And there's like a photo of her like jumping up, like being excited because she's wearing these like little heels. And it's like, it looks like she's levitating and now people are.
She's got 2 feet up in the air in the same position. And if anyone has ever jumped in their life before, it's very hard to do that. And I don't know how she picked her feet up at once.
It's amazing.
In those high heels. Very physically impressive.
Yeah. Which I love and I think is so great. And listen, I totally agree that Angela Bassett undoubtedly deserves an Oscar. She deserved an Oscar for the Tina Turner biopic that she did. Like, she deserves one. However, I will say, and this isn't even in Jamie's defense, this is more of just like, if you think about it, I was surprised that she was even nominated for this role, only not because she wasn't good in it, because I saw the film and I thought she was great, but in particular, the stuffy types who make up the majority of the Academy are also the same exact type of people who rail on about how Marvel movies are ruining the film industry. Mm-hmm. The Venn diagram, it's a circle. Like, you know, it's like Martin Scorsese. And to me, they don't nominate Marvel movies for anything besides, like, I don't know, VFX or maybe Best Song if they're lucky. And, you know, despite I understand that Marvel movies make a ton of money and they keep people in theaters and they're really well received. Some of them were well received critically. But that being said, they nominated Black Panther for Best Picture, but it didn't win. But they tried to, do you remember when they launched the campaign for Robert Downey Jr. to be nominated for, and I was like, okay, come on, that's not happening. And it didn't happen. That's the thing. Yeah. But an Academy Award for a big category, like one of the big acting awards or the Best Picture or director for a Marvel film, I'm sorry, is actually really groundbreaking and might never happen because of who the Academy is made up of. And honestly, I thought, oh, Jamie Lee is winning after she beat Angela at the SAG. I was like, oh, she's not winning. So I'm just
nomination is an achievement of its own. It
truly, for a Marvel film, that's amazing because
she'll get one for something else.
Yeah, and I hope she does. She totally deserves it. But it just, more than anything, I was like, these people hate Marvel movies. Like, they will do anything to not acknowledge them. So, but yeah.
Agreed.
All right, let's keep going. Let's do the next category. It's Not Worth the Tea, This Week in Social Media and Relationship News. Kate.
I moved this up here as a transition because it's Oscars related.
Right.
Speaking of the naked dresses, Hunter Schafer of Euphoria fame was at the Vanity Fair party in a viral outfit in which she was wearing, she looked amazing, but she was wearing a white skirt and then just like a feather that was kind of like tied over her nipples and everything was just kind of like out there. And again, she looked great. She was crushing it. She was styled by La Roche, who does Zendaya's styling and lots of other very famous people and models. Also does Hunter Schafer, obviously. But La Roche tweeted on Wednesday that he is retiring from fashion. He's really very famous. He's like a celebrity judge on like Legendary. He, again, just like is very well known for styling a lot of kind of like the It Girls these days. But he tweeted that he's retiring. He put on Instagram and he said, "My cup is empty. Thank you to everyone who've supported me in my career over the years. if this business was just about the clothes, I would do it for the rest of my life. But unfortunately, it's not. The politics, the lies, and false narratives finally got me. You win. I'm out.
Sad.
So Twitter, who loves, you know, Zendaya and all of these people, were kind of like, what is up? Like, this is one of the few celebrity stylists that is like famous of, in his own right, like that we know. Like, is he mad at Zendaya? What happened? They then recircled this video from a while back to where they were at the Louis Vuitton fashion show from, I think, a couple weeks ago. Zendaya sits down next to Emma Stone and La Roche walks up and doesn't have a seat in the front row. And Zendaya kind of like points behind her to the second row. And La Roche is like visibly annoyed that he would like dare be have a second row seat. So I think this is part of why it went viral, because people were like, oh my God, like he is so dramatic for quitting fashion because of this. And like, is he breaking up with Zendaya? Then there was this whole cycle where people were talking about how he like made Zendaya a star, which first I was like, please. And then I was like, actually, this is legit. Like people pointed to interviews where he talked about he would just like try to get her into fashion events that she like kind of had no business being at and make her look amazing. And people would talk about her, which that is really how she became famous, was like those first Met Gala looks and those first like award shows. He said also in an interview with, I think, Issa Rae, that he would purposely put her in looks that he knew other people was wearing so that she would show up on the like bitch stole my look.
Oh, or, my
like,
God.
Who wore it better.
Oh, my gosh. Interesting.
That's genius.
Because he was like, she's going to wear it better. So like, it was like very strategic and really smart. And like, she really did like become famous at like kind of on red carpets and then start to get cast in more stuff. And obviously, like, she has looked unbelievable for the past several years. He's styled her for, you know, the Oscars. She was at the Vanity Fair party last year in that suit that went really viral. And he's just done an amazing job. But everyone was like, oh, my God, like, they can't break up. He has, you know, done all of this for her. So he actually posted yesterday that he was, like, on Twitter. He was like, me and Z, like, are not breaking up. Like, that's not fashion. That's life. Like, that's family. So that's good, first of all, like sticking with her. But then everyone was like, what does this mean then? Why are you retiring? What does it mean that you're retiring if you're still going to be styling Zendaya? He did an interview today with Vogue right before and after he walked in a show for Hugo Boss. And just a lot of stuff. He's definitely like a diva. He definitely is, you know, a little bit self-important, which they all are in the fashion and celebrity world. But also, you know, extremely talented. And he just talked about how, like, he is kind of just, like, letting go of some of the power. And how, like, when a model walks into the room, they're not like, I'm going to wear that. Like, they're like, what are you going to put on me? Like, I'll wear whatever you want. So he was, like, you know, making his debut as a runway model. And he was like, that's kind of the energy that I want, is to just, like, step back, kind of, like, let other people's vision wash over me and work with that and, like, be a little bit less, like, you know, hardcore, kind of like having the power myself. I'm guessing he'll still do styling, certainly for Zendaya, if not also others. But it seems like, you know, he's like trying some different things as well. So I think retirement is maybe a strong word, but ultimately I think he will still continue to work with Zendaya and others in some shape or form.
Good. Well, he should.
That's the takeaway. But yeah, I was actually very, very impressed. Once I started reading all about like what he did for Zendaya, I was like, you know what? She does a lot to him.
She does.
She really does.
There is this one look of hers that went really viral. And people actually pulled a couple of like pre-La Roche, like what they were wearing on the red carpet.
Oh, shit.
And like, she was rocking a lot of like big top hats. Did you guys see that one photo? And they're like, she needs him more than vice versa.
Right. So he really like created her sort of model brand.
Or yeah, like high-end luxury. Yeah.
She does. That's she hilarious. Owes a lot to him.
She's going back to her top hat era.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Can't have that.
What the hell is this next one, Amelia?
Incredible transition here. Also in the fashion world.
Exactly. Megan with a 3, you know, the doll, the killer doll. She is now the new face. Well, she started in a campaign for Marc Jacobs' sub-label called Heaven, which I guess is like supposed to be edgy and cool. And I don't know, I guess maybe probably assume that Gen Z is into it. But so these photos were released and it's literally just it's the doll Megan, and she's dressed in what appears to be a zip-up hoodie, or maybe just a hoodie that has like a skull kind of on it. It's giving like Avril Lavigne. She looks kind of like Avril Lavigne, and she's got these giant boots on, and she looks very moody. So Yeah, she looks great. Wow. I don't know.
This like, is it. The future. This is so odd. Oh, God. All right, we'll keep our eyes out for more Megan.
For sure.
Who knows where else she'll end up.
Right.
Okay, quickly, big celeb pregnancy news. Lindsay Lohan is having her first child. Ooh. We're very excited. We've been on the Lohan train since the inception of Tea Time. This is just, you know, her latest and greatest. She is having a child with her husband, Bader Shamus. And she posted on Instagram of like a little baby onesie and it says, coming soon. It's great. I actually really, you know, everyone was congratulating her. Paris Hilton comes out of the woodwork and is like, welcome to the mommy club. Okay. So it's been a really long time since the early aughts. I feel a little old that all of these women are mothers. But yes, we're very excited. And I mean, she's been on a roll in her professional life and now she'll be on a roll in her personal life. So
I hope she's already shot those. She had that 2-picture deal for Netflix. She's already shot that next Christmas rom-com. Otherwise, we're going to have to wait a while for the next one.
I bet they did that all in 1 month in Toluca Lake, like last year. 100%. And just like, these are the three that we're going to release.
You're right. You're right.
Okay, the other thing on social media I wanted to talk to you about, Amelia, don't know if you caught these in real time. Mm-hmm. It was Tristan Thompson's birthday, the infamous baby daddy and former partner of Khloe Kardashian, who cheated on her like 100,000 times. We talked about it very extensively on this pod. So it was his birthday. And if you guys follow any one Kardashian, except for maybe Kendall, they go really hard on social media for all of their birthdays. It's like,
you're so right.
The longest 10-part Instagram story and then grid post. And there's so many of them and they're so detailed every post. I can't believe they haven't run out of like English words, but it's like the most thoughtful, the most, so they go on and on. So it's Tristan's birthday, which they have no business or reason to post for him, you think. But then, so they post these long things. There actually have been rumors swirling that Tristan and Khloé are back together, which the two of you just rolled your eyes for those who are not on the Zoom with us. Because they're her best friend. They had their birthday party. They were like photographed very close together. They are there are like some clues. And also they're like, why would Tristan be invited to Khloé's best friend's birthday if they were not on like really good terms? Anyway, back to the birthday post.
Is this like Malika?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
God damn it.
Okay. So anyway, back to the birthday post. These Kardashians seem to take a page out of Gisele Bündchen's book in terms of like social media fronts for their ex-partners. So first comes Kris. Kris Jenner, also, I'm sorry I'm going so long on this. No business posting
please,
for
I
her
love
daughter's
this.
Like cheating fucking ex-boyfriend. There's no need. But no.
She's doing image rehabilitation. You're so right. They have to be back together.
She fucking is. So Kris says this. You look at the glass half full. Like, what the hell? Like, what kind of description
is that?
The glass
half full? The glass like, is there's nothing in the birthday? Glass.
Yeah. It has been so great watching you grow as a dad, a friend, a brother, an uncle, and a son. He's such an inspiration, teaching her many lessons with when it comes to how you deal with adversity and challenges that seem insurmountable.
Oh my God. I feel like my brain is breaking in real time. That's so offensive to me.
Like, what? And then she goes, I know this year has been hard so far, but you seem to find the positive and light amongst the sadness. We love you very much. Kris Jenner's in her little media lab.
Okay. Uh-huh. She really is. Did you watch this past season of the Kardashians on Hulu?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Did you see when Khloe was like, oh God, Tristan is so annoying. Like he wants to pay for True's birthday party. And Kris Jenner was like, let him pay. He's such a good daddy. I was like, Kris, shut the fuck up.
She's planning 10 steps ahead and probably knew Khloe's going to get back together with him. So it's like, yes. I'm going to be on this side now. So then Khloe super doesn't have to say anything, right? They've got an infant son together that like he cheated on her like and had another child with right in that time period. If y'all watch that season. Anyway, she says, again, stories and a grid post. You are truly the best father, brother, and uncle. Her wish for him is to continue to crave change, healing, and transformation.
Oh,
again,
my
it's
God.
Like, we're doing too much. Like, what do those words even
actually
mean? Say happy birthday via text if you really are like that upset with him and be done.
Right.
Like, why have they not been able to quit this man?
It's really embarrassing. I still do feel sympathy towards Khloe, but like, fool me once. You know,
fool me literally 15 times.
Six times.
Shame on me. Like, so, you look so stupid. I'm sorry.
So it's like, be smarter. Like, what are we doing? This is so,
what are we doing? This is embarrassing. I'm sorry. And I like Chloe, but this is embarrassing.
There's like 400 photos of him on this little carousel. And it's just, it's really unbelievable. So this is damning evidence. I feel like this is real, like warming the people up. She turned the comments off. So,
oh my God. She did? Of course she did. Oh my God. Yeah. If you're going to make these grand statements and gestures, leave the comments on. Truly leave them on. Because you know what you're doing. Yeah, be brave.
Face it. Wow. So that was that. I have my eyes on those two, just FYI.
I'm sorry. And she really, she used to be my favorite. And then she wasn't my favorite. And then I watched this past
everybody's
season,
favorite.
Yeah, of Kardashians. And I was like, oh, I forgot why I like Khloe so much. She's so funny and like I feel for her. And now I'm just like, you're being stupid. This is embarrassing. What are you doing?
She posted a selfie a couple of days later and it's just her like doing a kissy face. All of the comments are like, that birthday post giving no self-respect. Like, girl, delete that Tristan post. Like, everyone hates it.
Good. So, I'm sorry, but good.
The people are speaking.
People are speaking.
Last piece of Kardashian news.
Yes. Oh my. Let me just say, so I follow Erewhon on Instagram because, you know, I need to know what branded smoothies are next. And, you know, we talked about this before.
I love Erewhon smoothie content. So I'm so glad you brought this to the table.
Oh, good. Thank
I'm
going to
follow them right now. I didn't even know they had an Instagram.
Do it. Listen, their Instagram is great. You know, we talked about it before, how Kris Jenner tried her hardest to get a fucking smoothie, but they were like, you're too old. Let's give it to her daughter. And... You know, just when you think they couldn't twist the knife a little more, turns out the latest collaboration is with Kim Kardashian's fucking hairstylist, Chris Appleton.
This is stunning to me. First of all, I thought that there was enough like desire for celebrities to do this, that like we could actually keep it with celebrities.
Well, yeah, and they had like Bella Hadid, which I was like, oh, okay, that's big. Okay.
Hailey Bieber.
Hailey Bieber, right.
It's in pretty high demand as far as like celeb collabs go.
Yes.
So I'm a little, he must have an in somehow, but this is really funny that he got one.
He got
Chris
one.
Chris didn't.
I'm actually dying. I went to Erewhon's Instagram to follow them per your instructions. I went to the post about this smoothie. None other than A. Weta Meyer's comment, Kris Jenner is shaky.
I just liked that 30 seconds ago when I saw it too.
Thank you.
So true, A. Weta Meyer.
But this looks
pretty good.
It's wild. It does look really good. And supposedly, it's supposed to have like benefits for your hair because he's a hairstylist.
That makes sense.
Smart. So, you know, the worst one was, what's her name? Courtney's, when it was black and it had all that charcoal in it. This purple is at least like a less offensive, like just, you know, it's just like less... weird in your stomach color.
And it's got like little like purple flakes on top.
That's cool. Yeah, I like that.
Coconut flakes. That's fun.
Right? And it's so funny. They reposted on their stories like Kim talking. She's like, this smoothie is so good, you guys. And she's in one of her mini, you know, marble halls. And it's like reverberating. She's like, you guys, this smoothie is so good.
Echoing around her marble cave.
Yeah, it's hilarious. So,
gosh.
You know, we're out here doing a Erewhon smoothie watch. So,
we should go and try it. I feel like we have to try it. I can't remember, Kaya, if you've had any of them. I think I had
the Hailey Bieber one, right?
No, I had the Kourtney Kardashian
one. Oh, you did?
Did you like that one?
It was pretty tasty, honestly.
Damn it.
No, I believe you.
Can we expense our Erewhon smoothies? We should try.
I feel like we could.
I think so, too.
Try. Oh, that's funny.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's move on to cringe mode. This week, we are doing the Miley classic, LOL, in honor of her new album that came out. That is great, and I would recommend you guys all watch or listen to that. Okay, shall we? Any other introduction needed? Kate, did you want to say anything for the plot?
I can do the plot if you would like.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we picked Miley this week because we just didn't really get a chance to talk about her new album and her evolution. But yeah, it's great. I'm also really enjoying it. But yeah, LOL 2012. You've probably seen this on your Netflix queue. If your viewing habits are anything like mine, this has been recommended to me for years. For some reason, I thought this movie was about cyberbullying, and it's not at all. I don't know why I thought that.
I can see that.
This movie is actually a remake of a 2008 French movie. I'll talk about that later. It was also called LOL. They made it basically like scene for scene, the American version starring Miley Cyrus in really just an incredible era for her. Liz will get into that. But she stars as Lola, aka Lol, hence the name. And she's just like a very chaotic high school student in Chicago. She has a very wild school year. She like breaks up with her cheating boyfriend, tries to date her really hot best friend, Kyle. I'm like, no one has a straight guy best friend who is this hot. But anyway, that's just unrealistic. He's in a band. There's like a battle of the band subplot. And in the meanwhile, she's like dealing with all her weird, wild friends. Her mom is like all up in her business. Her mom is Demi Moore. She's equally chaotic. She's like sleeping with her ex-husband. Then she pivots to sleeping with like hot police officer Jay Hernandez. Mm. She's like trying to kill her daughter's social life, punish her for like throwing parties, losing her virginity. There's a trip to Paris. Miley has like some interpersonal conflicts with her friends and she breaks up with Kyle. She gets back together with Kyle. She has a fight with her mom, moves in with her dad, goes back to her mom, and everything ends up happily ever after.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Shall we do the highlights, Amelia?
Let's do it.
Yeah, I would say this movie is painfully 2012. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I actually kind of like it. It's just there's so many elements just from the clothes they wear, just what they talk about. It's so funny. And I especially loved the non-makeover montage of Miley and Douglas Booth doing the hand hearts. I was like, oh my God, this movie.
Movie is 2012. And I'll tell you that my biggest marker was how Miley Cyrus looked. As any Miley fan knows, there are like certain eras of her life that follows the years in which she grew up from, you know, her young adulthood. This is prime Miley. This is when I really dedicated my life to her. She's got the auburn hair, like the red tone, thick, like just post Hannah Montana. Thick ass hair. She got into yoga. She was paparazzied every day in Toluca Lake going to yoga class. She had her snaggle tooth still intact, pre-veneers. Okay, that's an important. This is also the year she transformed so much in 2012. She went from how we see her now, like the auburn, like, you know, reddish hair. That's when she started bleaching her hair. Remember, she went the really blonde phase and the top bun phase?
The top bun. Really, oh my God. Yeah.
Into it. And then the same year, she chopped her hair and then like debuted it right at the end of 2012, like the real pixie cut, which was the start of something so completely different for her. So it's a crazy year. So it's really, I'm really happy this movie came out in 2012 so I could talk about that. Anyway, I was happy to see her in her like early, you know, 2010s Miley, because that was when I really fell in love.
Wow. I just got the energy from that was the same energy several years ago when Amelia went long on Kirsten Dunst. And just like really was overcome by her love. That was fun to watch. Wow.
It's a special time for us fans.
Also, and I love that I love Kirsten Dunst, but her eras are not really that marked.
Right.
You know, you're like, okay,
they're not that distinct.
She looks exactly the same as she did in Interview with the Vampire. But but I love seeing you react to all of Miley's different eras because she has some great eras and it's exciting.
Some good, some bad, as we know. Although I think you ride for the eras, I don't, which is kind of
even
each other out. Anyway, another highlight, not related to Miley, I think Demi Moore is extremely well cast in this movie.
Yes.
Chaotic mom, divorcee, also trying to figure out her life, make some good, you know, make some mistakes, make some good, you know, parenting choices. And they go together really well.
Like, yeah. We've watched a lot of mother-daughter movies this year for some reason. This is like mother-daughter movie number 4 or 5.
Oh, that's funny.
And some of them we have been like, the vibe just like is not there. Like, I don't buy them as like mother and daughter. Like, something is off. But yeah, I agree. They also, it's like, it's weird because I was like, Demi Moore is like, is she too hot for this role? But then like, she is, but also she still has like that mom, strict mom energy.
Yes.
And they work really well off each other. So I agree. I actually thought she was well cast also.
Agreed. What else? Kate?
Speaking of the 2012 vibes, this movie makes me very nostalgic for how old iPhone texts used to work.
Yes. Oh my God.
And like, I think in my brain, it's just tied to like high school drama and like waiting for texts from like a boy or something.
LOL.
Because it had that, you know, it like was shiny and it had, it was kind of clear vibes.
Yeah.
And I just, it doesn't hit the same way anymore. Those like dramatic texts like between friends or like a boyfriend or something just hit different with that original iPhone.
They do.
iOS, and it just doesn't, it's just not the same anymore. Made me very nostalgic.
I agree.
Honestly, just overall highlight, this is just like a classic cringe mode pick. Like objectively bad movie, but like fun to watch, fun to like consider these specific actors in this era, and like takes us back to our youth specifically, like bad styling, but like stuff we identify with.
Yeah.
Like moments that are like somehow both highlights and lowlights. Cringe but fun, easy watch. I was like, this is just like textbook cringe mode, which I
agree. And not to bring it again back to Miley and the fandom, but I'm surprised I didn't watch this. This was kind of the last, she doesn't do a lot of movies. We already did The Climb. Wait, what's the movie? The Last Song. And then we cringe mode that however long ago. I feel like this was on our bucket list. And so I'm happy we did this.
Yes.
Not a lot of other highlights. So I guess we'll go to the lowlights, I suppose. Amelia?
Oh God! And early on in this movie, there's a guy who's his whole subplot is he's a hot teacher, and there's her Miley's best friend is like obsessed with him, like in a really creepy way. But and I swear to you, I thought it was Shane West. I was like, oh my God, Shane West is in this movie! But I was so disappointed to learn it in fact is not Shane West, and instead is some guy named Austin Nichols.
This guy is kind of one West. Of those like those guys that you're like, oh, I've seen him in another 2012 movie. I just can't put my fingers on it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I wish it was Shane West. I miss him.
Me too.
Also, like we said, at a certain time, a lot of this weird, creepy body stuff and body shots of girls that are supposed to be in high school that just absolutely would not get done now. They're in a locker room and they are just shooting close-ups of girls' butts in underwear.
Yeah.
And it's really...
For something like not on HBO, you know? Like this was also surprising to me.
Yeah. Also for a movie 14, or I was just like, what? It's just very unnecessary. And then there's one really weird scene. Amelia, can you...
I mean, this scene was like very early on. This was in like the first 5 minutes. And there, one, I was kind of like, why are they all bathing together? Because it's Miley, Demi, and Miley's little sister. And they're all like, we're going to take a shower and bath together. Which, what I mean, my family didn't do that, but maybe someone else's family did. I don't know. But so Miley's taking off her clothes. And Demi is like, Lola, is that a Brazilian? And I was like, how did we get here? What?
Yeah.
This movie is only 5 minutes in. What's going on?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that was a French thing. That's right out of the trailer of the French movie.
God.
And as soon as I saw that, I was like, just like French vibes to that whole scene, actually. I think the French are more likely to do that than us.
Correct.
That's very true.
But
that's
I was surprised that they included that. Like scene for scene, word for word, basically.
There's a lot of weird... Yeah, we're going to talk later about another weird scene.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what else, Kate?
This movie starts out with a voiceover from Miley that kind of continues throughout. And she's like, that's me. We're in slow motion because that's how the hot girls are introduced. And then she's like, that's my boyfriend, Chad. And she like makes out with him. And she's like, this is my best friend, Kyle. And then she does like a weirdly intimate hug with her, again, very hot platonic friend, Kyle.
Yes.
And I was like, this is cringe. This is really bad. The whole like introduction. And we just saw this with the... like, I just don't like when it's like quirky and self-aware. The Reese Witherspoon, Ashton Kutcher movie did this where it came up with the words and it was like, this is how you know it's 2013. Yeah. And then it was like pointing stuff out on this. And I was like, don't do this. Don't be self-aware. Yeah. Breaking the fourth wall is almost always bad and cringe.
Uh-huh.
So the voiceover to me was not. I thought Miley was pretty good, but the voiceover didn't work for me with her.
Good
and
note.
Then I would have cut the teacher-student storyline. One, I was like, I don't care. Like there's enough other drama. In this movie, like, why are we spending so much time on this?
Yeah.
And two, like, it just didn't really amount to anything. And I was like, let's just go back to Miley and, like, her life. I don't need to know anything that this friend is doing.
Speaking of cutting scenes, if I were to pick one to cut and leave on the floor, it would have been a very certain scene with this same friend. I feel like this girl just got a bad end of a stick. But she's on the equivalent of, like, a chat roulette, talking to random strangers. And, you know, I'm not going to, she uses like a raw chicken it's actually just, I cannot even, and I, Kate, I don't know if you fast forwarded through that entire scene.
I hit that 10 second skip button. I got the idea, but I was like, nope.
My God. If that was in the original movie, they should have cut it. If that was an original idea, they should just, yeah. I don't know what.
We needed to, if that was in the original, yeah, we needed to be more selective about what we're including.
Agreed. Yeah. And then last one, Kate.
Like I said, I did appreciate the nostalgia of the early iPhone texting, but any movie where a lot of it is spent with the main character silently staring at her phone or a screen when like little chat bubbles are coming up and like that's the whole conversation and the whole plot, it gets really old and it gets really boring to me.
Yes.
And that was a lot of this movie. You've Got Mail is like the only exception that I can think of where like it's a lot of it is long distance.
Yeah,
email or like writing. But this, I was like, every time the little like AIM or whatever bubbles came up, I was like, oh my God, this is too much reading. If I wanted to read, I would read a book. Like, yeah, let's go.
That's Agreed. So funny.
Okay, so for age, the best and the worst, I thought the best, like I said, it was a very pivotal year for her and she was exiting Disney. She was about, as we know, at the end of the year, going to chop her hair off and really commit to her, like, I am an adult now era. But the first 5 minutes, I guess it came from the original movie, which makes more sense. But the Brazilian wax conversation, she's like smoking weed in this movie. She's, you know, grappling with the idea of sex. It's very, I can see why she chose this role.
Yeah.
And
it's edgy.
Why this all happened. Yes. Very, very edgy. And then age the worst. Oh my God. There is such a specific type of, it's not like emo. What is, it's like all like scene kind of. Yeah.
It's like the edge of scene and also just like 2012 It Girl.
Right.
Kind
yes.
of.
Yeah. It's what's the Amy Winehouse. It kind yes. of looks, it's like rockabilly yes. kind of
yeah.
almost.
Yeah. And it's these like big chunky statement necklaces, very heavy eyeliner, bump its headbands. And Ashley Green wears a lot of that. And she's like the hot girl in school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were in school at slightly different eras, but like 2012 was my junior year. And like, this really was what the popular girls wore. Yeah, they had the bump in their hair. They had the flat ironed hair. Mm-hmm. And actually, speaking of that, I actually think that didn't age well, but Miley's style actually did. Because
Agreed.
Her style could have been way worse. Like in 2012,
yes,
like
could.
My hair was flat ironed to hell. Like even though, you know, even though like she's kind of like alt too, like too cool for school.
Yeah.
And she kind of just has like waves, like kind of natural waves in this movie, which really I really kind of didn't exist in my high school. Like everyone was either like curling it or crimping it or flat
ironing
it. It's
like her Hannah Montana, like
yeah,
beach
like you
waves
had to do something.
Kept.
And actually they've aged really well because she didn't do much.
Yeah.
To her hair in this movie. And she really could have been just like flat ironed to hell.
Mm-hmm.
So I think actually she looks pretty good.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
I think the French movie that this is based on also aged pretty well. And like, I think it's because I watched this and then I watched the trailer and I was like, oh, this makes more sense in French.
Got it.
Like,
I'm going to have to watch
context,
this. Sure.
Uh-huh. It actually looks kind of good. Like, it looks kind of funny and it just explains some of the weird choices. So, I'm guessing if you watched both of these, that one is probably not necessarily like more enjoyable from our perspective because obviously we've enjoyed the actors and the American version to a degree. But I think maybe in terms of like cinema, that one might be slightly better.
Sure.
I see. And then lastly, Amelia.
I just think, honestly, it's probably for the best that no one talks about this movie. And I say that more so of like whoever wrote and directed this, which I guess I'm blaming it on French people. But it's just like, well, I don't understand the plot of this film. Like, why did you make it? I don't get it. And there are so many like talented, famous people in this movie. I'm just like, okay.
I know. This
it actually,
such
a- I agree. It's good that it kind of disappeared because this could be something that people kind of keep dragging back. And like taking scenes out of context and being like, oh, this was awkward. But it kind of died a quiet death. So I think that's for the best.
Yeah, it really flopped. I know. I wish she would return to acting. Maybe she was just so scarred by how horribly this movie went that she never returned. Okay, let's do MVP. Obviously, my answer in my heart is Miley, but it's not that interesting to say. So I'm giving it to the grandma in this movie, who's an actress named Marlo Thomas. She's very famous. I know her from Friends. She was a parent in that for a long time. But she's been around and an actress since the 60s. And I thought also, the look, the attitude, the like raspy voice, she was perfectly cast in this movie. This was very clearly three generations of women which I appreciated.
Yeah. She's also the St. Jude lady who comes with the commercials. And she's like, please donate to St. Jude's.
Is that maybe where I know her from? I was like, why is this woman so familiar? It can't possibly be from Friends. Good call.
Great range. Wow.
Yeah,
she does have the range. Yeah.
She does.
I'm taking Demi as my MVP. Normally, I think I would have been like really out on the mom love life storyline. I would have been like, take us back to Miley and her high school escapades. But I don't know. She pulled it off. She's fun. She looks great. And like, I did think she actually had a good mix of like being a chaotic like divorcee and also kind of being like a strict mom. Like there were some like, she went through a diary. Like that's not chill. But she was believable as like a chaotic mom who also is still very much like a mom. Mm-hmm. And like not that irresponsible herself. So I think she did a great job.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, I agree with you, Demi and Miley and Marlo, love them. But I've got to give it to the blonde best friend because she had to do some really embarrassing acting. I mean, this girl was, she got the chicken thing. She had to do that. She had to pretend like she was really obsessed with the teacher. Like that is so, I don't think I could ask that. That is so embarrassing.
This is Ashley Hinshaw, by the way.
Did you know?
Is another person that you've seen in stuff, but not.
Yes, anything. She looked familiar.
Yeah. This woman is married to Topher Grace.
Oh my God. Oh, wow. Interesting.
Fascinating stuff.
Huh.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. Well, she was not given good material.
No.
In this movie, and she did her best.
She really did, you know?
One quick lightning round question. What was the best 2010s fashion that you guys saw in this movie?
I want to give a shout out to, again, just very accurate to my lived experience, the solid color V-neck tee that you pulled all the way down, stretched all the way down over your jeans to your butt. Like that was just rampant. That was an everyday staple.
Funny. Yeah.
And just all over
the city.
That's
so real.
All over.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I would say I totally agree with that. I also think there's lots of bracelets and long necklaces going on here. And I was
It was the necklaces, the statement necklaces for me that I was also wearing that I choose to forget. And just joking, I didn't scroll down far enough. We got one more lightning round question. In your opinion, besides Miley and Demi, who is the most successful person in this film today?
This was such a good question. And I don't know the answer to it because there are so many people that have like, are recognizable, but have fallen off the map, but used to be big, but aren't anymore. I really like Douglas Booth. I'm actually very invested in his relationship with Belle Powley, who's another British actress. And he had a moment where he was like, kind of the next, like he and like Sam Claflin were like in the same like early era where they were like the like next like hot British guy. And then he kind of just like didn't do anything. So he's fallen off the map. So I actually kind of want to say Jay Hernandez, who's the hot police officer. But he also kind of has fallen off the map, but he was in Suicide Squad. He's like pretty consistently employed.
Yeah.
And he's in that Magnum PI remake show, which apparently is ongoing and on network television.
He is Magnum PI, right?
I think so.
Okay.
So like that's a recognizable role.
Yeah, I
couldn't have told you he was in that until I looked at his IMDb, but he is, you know, booked and busy, so.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I feel like Ashley Greene's Twilight presence will just have her eternally kind of around and semi-relevant because that movie or something about that series goes viral every single year. And she does have a very distinct like features and a face. So I feel like she, but not to say that she's done a whole lot since this movie, since Twilight in general. Apparently she's was in a movie called Wrong Place. Or is it a TV show? I cannot. Okay. I think it's a movie. Anyway,
she's kind of big on social media, though. She's got like the whole yoga thing and like she and her husband from the other vampire show, the Damon on The Vampire Diaries. What's his real name? Ian Somerhalder. She's with him, right?
No, that's the other one.
Oh, is that Nikki? What's her face?
Yeah.
Oh, this is the other Twilight girl.
Yes.
Fully confused them.
See, which I guess maybe not so recognizable.
Recognizability factor.
Maybe not that distinct of a face.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, I completely confused them.
Yeah.
What is Ashley Greene doing?
That's really funny.
Not much. Okay. Let's do T-Tem's unanswerable question. Go ahead, Kate.
Okay. Sophie Turner and Joe Jonas were at the Vanity Fair Oscar party looking amazing. She was towering over him as she tends to do in her heels and in his, 5'9" sleigh. And I actually like really kind of like them together these days. And I really like her and I'm ready for her comeback. But I was thinking again about just them as a couple and how she really manifested this for herself because she was a big Jonas Brothers fan in her teenage years. And I was just wondering, if you followed the Sophie Turner model and you married your preteen celebrity crush, because she said in interviews, like, he was it. Like, he was like her, like, 12, 13-year-old biggest celebrity crush, who she is now married and has two children with and is towering over on red carpets and fixing his tie on the at the Vanity Fair Oscar party. If you followed her model and you married whatever celebrity you were most in love with when you were, like, 11, 12, 13, who would you be married to right now?
Amelia, who's your answer?
You know, probably Shane West. I was like, I loved him. And I still am a fan. So
that's a great one.
I love Shane West.
Yeah. If you go really early, I think it's like Justin Timberlake because I loved him in NSYNC. And I didn't know at that time how tall I would also become. So I think I would, he's five, maybe he's under 6 feet. So I probably would be tiring over him in heels. But I also can't, I think Robert Pattinson, whenever that first Twilight movie came, I would like cut out photos of him and like tape them onto
that
parts
is true.
Of my room.
I love that.
You know, yeah, depending on what year we pick, Robert Pattinson would also be up there for me. I might be married to him. However, the funny thing is that I think mine would be, I think this was my One Direction phase.
Oh
was
my
like,
God.
But ironically, I was not a hairy girl at all.
Who
I think
you?
I would be married to like Niall Horan.
Oh my
God.
Hold on, I'm doing a height
that.
Check on Niall
I
Horan.
Really, I kind of pivoted through everyone except Harry, like
that
during those
hilarious.
Early years. And so it might be one of the other ones. It might be like Liam Payne, which would be tough.
Oh,
Niall Horan is 5'8", Kate. You would be Sophie Turner on the red carpet.
There you
it's
go.
It's meant to be. Oh my God.
Yeah. Depending on what year, it would be one of those, I think, but it would not
I
be
I like Niall. He is on The Voice and my parents watch The Voice and my dad's like, I like this Irish guy. So
he's very likable. Of the ones that I could be married to, I think he's probably the best pick. The best non-hairy pick of that squad. But
I love that. That's a good question.
Amelia, what on earth is your question?
I'm sorry. I had the Chris Appleton Erewhon smoothie as my original question, but then my friend texted me last night. I don't know. I could not stop laughing about this. Okay, so Survivor is on Wednesdays. And right after Survivor is the RuPaul Lingo show, which I think we've talked about. It's like Wordle, but on TV.
Oh, yeah, we have talked about that.
Yeah. So, and they get just like a bunch of random, I think they love having twins on this show for what, I don't know if RuPaul's like into twins or something, but my friend sent me over a photo because he was watching it after Survivor and the two women, I guess they're sisters. They might be twins because they were dressed really similarly and they look like sisters. And the names on their little like screen were Shelvia, spelled S-H-E-L-V-I-A, and Gelvia, G-E-L-V-I-A. And I was like, I have never seen those names before in my entire life. Shelvia and Gelvia. Shelvia? And he texts back, they said their mom's name was Belvia.
Stop.
Okay.
So my question is, have you ever heard of these names? Shelvia, Gelvia, or Belvia?
Okay. Wow. No, but I ask you, which would you rather be named? Shelvia, Belvia, or Gelvia?
That is a great question.
I think
Shelvia, maybe?
Maybe I'll go Belvia.
Belvia reminds me of Belvita, which is like a brand of snacks that my mom really likes. Okay, so here's the thing. Belvia obviously existed first, right? And then the mom was like, I want to name my daughters something that
Shelvia
rhymes with
Gelvia.
My name. So then she made up Shelvia and Gelvia. I think she could have done better. I think you could have done now I can't
think of it. Yeah, what? Literally what?
Gelvia isn't very good. I feel like you could have done like Delvia or...
Oh, Delphia. Oh, that's Delvia. Nice, actually.
Okay.
Helvia, that's not better. But
Helvia.
Like,
what about Felvia?
Oh, no, I don't like that.
Okay. I'll name my own daughter Felvia then. You can be.
Do you guys like when like twins are named the same thing?
No,
or like siblings
I think it's
all
annoying.
Have the same letter?
No, I think it's annoying.
Do any
I'm
of you
sorry.
Guys have that? You don't, right? Mm-hmm. I don't like accidentally.
As you say that.
Accidentally.
Kate, your parents as triplets named you guys Shelvia, Belvia, and Gelvia.
I'm very glad that they didn't. They never wanted to like have our names start with the same letter.
Oh,
or
good.
Anything.
Which one would you be though? Shelvia, Gelvia, or Belvia?
Ooh, I'm first. So I think I would be.
Oh, would you? You'd be Belvia.
Yeah.
Okay, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then my brother and sister would be Shelvia and Gelvia.
I feel like Anne is more a Shelvia and then Tyler's more Gelvia.
Yeah. She has Shelvia energy. Yeah.
Well. If you guys know anyone in your lives named any of these names, please slide into our DMs.
I'm sorry. This just made me laugh. So I could not stop laughing.
Thank you for bringing this here. This is the kind of content we love.
Yeah. Okay, sometimes you just got to change it up in this category. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yep,
yeah.
That's why it's
here. Just talked about celebrities for an hour. Let's just do something a little different now. Okay, that's it. And let us know, really. DM us. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you to Kaya, our producer. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Howell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer.